Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita on Sri Lila 1, 193. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Kavitva Nahoya E Amritaraga Nataka Lakshana Shabashadanta Sar. Translation. Srila Ramananda Roy said, "This is not a poetic presentation, it is a continuous shower of nectar. Indeed, it is the essence of all ultimate realizations appearing in the form of plays." Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanantana Silakaya Taksura Nilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Krishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanastinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srinad Rupa Padamboja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vanchta Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. I just recently got back, been out all day, and went to Barsana with Leela Vilasini and her husband Gopinath. They're my assistants here. And if anybody's in the Dham and you hear Leela Vilasini tell the stories of the places, it's quite amazing. When I go out now, I give some tattva, a little something, and I let her speak. Wonderful. And then my godbrother Arjuna came, and Bryn and Joy from Yoga Maya. And it was incredibly wonderful. We went to the forest of Ter Kadamba. It's just so beautiful what this Rishikesh Baba has done there. It's probably, almost unquestionably, the most beautiful place in Braj. people, it's just, walking around. I mean, it's really what you would directly think Vrindavan looks like. I mean, you couldn't paint a picture as beautiful as this place is. And from there, we went on the Barsana Parikram. And when you get towards the end of that Parikram, it depends which way you go, and you get to the Garavan Forest and Radha Sarovara, or Krishna Kund, the Lake of Radha, near Mankutir, the ashram of Ramesh Baba. It's just probably the most pure place in the world, in Braj, because of the powerful Ramesh Baba. Practically everyone in that village is filled with bhakti, what to speak, that they're born there. It's just so secluded. You can't even, really, it's very hard. There can't be no through traffic. It's just beautiful in these hills, Mankutir and Morkutir. And then Ramesh Baba, Leela has a Baba named Tulsi Baba that she knows, and he lives on the hill of Morkutir, where you can look out on all sides from all of the Garavan forest. And she pointed out to me, and I never saw this across, is Ramesh Baba's Goshala with 20,000 cows. And it's spectacular. You see the cows, the potaduli, the in the distance, the dust of the cows is there. It's almost like, as it's described in Krishna book, like a river of milk or something, when the white cows are moving. And it's such a udipan, a inspiration for love of Krishna, because in the Bhagavatam, one of the first inspirations for the gopis is that in the distance they see, the first thing they see when Krishna comes back from the forest and they're feeling great separation, the first thing they see is the potaduli, the dust. And the dust means that the cows are coming back from the pasture. And the cows coming back from the pasture means that Krishna, who is the cowherd, will be coming back. So it's a great impetus. And then we went to this little ashram on this hill. And there's just a few saintly sadhus, and we called ahead, and they cooked lunch for us. It's very simple, yellow rice and dal. That's all they cooked. With some pickle and some sweets and... But to see people, my God, who are sadhus, but not only sadhus, but actually grew up in Barsana, there's nothing else that practically stimulated their minds, their whole lives, but the sweetness of Radharani. What a samskara. When I think of all the things that stimulated my mind and still do, and... they have some guru, it's Nimbark line, and the story is that Radharani gave the guru this stone. But they showed it to us, and even Vrind was saying it was one of her highlights. Because in this stone, the feet of Krishna and Radha are so perfectly imprinted, as if they're in that picture of kind of embrace, where kind of Radha's holding the flute, but Krishna's blowing the flute, and her leg is intertwined around his body. And he showed us these footprints, the little paint to show us the markings, and you could actually feel where the toe prints are. So it was just so, it was really, when you spend time out in the Dham like that, chanting and hearing, it's a bath with the dust of the Dham. You really feel purified in an exceptionally enlivening way. And of course, as it's said in the Shastra, you get prema in Vrindavan. You get prema in Puri by the Prasadam. You get prema in Mayapur, especially by the Kirtan of Vrindavan, by the dust. So within the mystical forest of Garavan. So that was quite wonderful. And tomorrow we'll go back there for the 12-hour Kirtan that's being held out there by Satchinandana Swami and Puri John are organizing that in the DIHG. Now we'll go to, we're up to in the CC, I'm not exactly sure, but we'll see. Because Auntie Leela means Lord Chaitanya has come to Vrindavan to fulfill eternal reason for his descent, which is to experience the height of the pure love of his devotee, especially his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. And then Rupa Goswami's late because his uncle, the father of Srila Jiva Goswami, has died. And then somehow he meets Lord Chaitanya, and I say turned on, but Lord Chaitanya becomes very excited by his extraordinary poetry, which is mostly found, at least in what's cited here, in the form of the incredible dramas he wrote. And Lord Chaitanya is so enlivened by the Vraja Leela Prema Rasa, by Prachar, by Rupa Goswami's Prachar, his descriptions of Vraja Leela Prema Rasa, the prema feeling, the prema mood of love of the Vraja Leela. And this actually is Rupa Goswami's main service, to preach the Vraja Leela Rasa, the Vraja Leela Prema Rasa, the prema, the deep feelings of love in Vraja Leela. And as we will find out, this is only possible by extraordinary poetry, which takes two qualities, just as kirtan takes two qualities. It takes the inspiration in the heart, which comes by the mercy of Krishna and Guru and the Vaishnavas. And it comes by an incredible individual ability of word craft and poetry. Incredible means, in one book called Rasa Darshana that I read, it was quoted a couple hundred years ago, but it said there may be 100 or more authors, really first-class authors in 100 years, but there may be 2 or 3 kavis, poets. Of course, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, is one, and Rupa Goswami is another. He has incredible talents. But it's not just incredible talents. It's a trust and love for Krishna and a surrender to the will of Krishna that lets Krishna use his talents to the maximum degree. And that's the greatest work is done. When we have a particular ability, and then we have a karmic, we also have a karmic ability to use them. When we surrender to Krishna, the use of the talents that we have by our karma is maximized because we're not using them in a karmic sense, but Krishna is using them in a devotional sense. When we become instruments for Krishna's will, Krishna's will uses the abilities we have to the greatest extent. And incredibly wonderful things happen. And that's really what our human life is really about. We have a certain amount of karmic abilities, and we can maximize them. We can maximize them in service by surrendering to Krishna. And of course, surrendering to Krishna means to surrender to the representatives of Krishna. Now, spiritual life is not at all about giving up ego. In Jnana Marga, you have to give up ego. Maybe in Yoga Marga, you don't give up ego. Ego means I. We don't give up the sense of I. We just have a different sense of identity. We have the sense of identity. I am the servant of Guru and Krishna. That's how you become pure and liberated. this Tulsi Baba, who's a very, very simple man, I mean, but you look at his face and the purity of him and his desire to serve and his humility. In fact, after he showed us this footprints of Krishna in the stone, and it was remarkable. Even if you believe it was by chance, it was a remarkable facsimile. And then he read to us from the Garga Samhita, where it says that anyone who touches or sees the footprints of Krishna in the stones of Braja, he has a reservation is made for him in the spiritual world, which was kind of enlivening. And he also said something that's very nice. He said that an elephant, when it goes in the water, you know, it has to stop after a few steps. Otherwise, it will sink. But a fish can go to the depths of the water without being affected. And he said, in the same way, when we surrender to Guru and Krishna, he said, just as the fish can function in the water without trouble, we can function in this world without trouble. But it's all the shift of identification. Bhakti deals more with the ahankara than it does with the mind or the intelligence. The root of bhakti is changing that ahankara. The best example is Prabhupada. He was so identified to the will and service of his spiritual master. That became his identity. And that's the process of spiritual life that Prabhupada gave. And it's a spiritual life. It's actually how bhakti works. How bhakti works. So Srila Rupa Goswami was completely, fully surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could work through his abilities to maximize them in a wonderful way so that he could write the most extraordinary poetry that encapsulates Vraja Leela Prema Ras. The rasa of this intense perfected love that's exemplified in the pastimes of Krishna. Maya Chittad Apasayam, when Vyasadeva saw reality, when he went deep in his meditation, so he saw reality so that he could write and present the Vedas in the most efficacious way for people to take advantage of them. So the Vedas is a description of reality, so he had to see reality. And he went into a deep trance and bhakti yoga, fixing his mind intensely. And then the mind became a pure lens to actually see reality. When he saw reality, he saw God and the exchange of his energies, including the eternal potency, which is the 10th canto. So he saw that that's the reality. The reality is that Vraja Leela Rasa Prema. This is the ultimate reality. Is rasa. And rasa means an exchange of love that's facilitated by and heightened by different emotions that are manifested as a result of Leela, of the play of God. The play of God creates rasa or perfected love. When it's like a child, A child doesn't work, a child plays. So ultimately God plays. Ultimately God is happy out of happiness acts, which increases his happiness. That's called play. That's called Leela. So that description of the ultimate exchange of God and his energies, his internal potency, is called Vraja Leela, which is Prema Rasa. So Lord Chaitanya wanted all the devotees to see Rupa Goswami's poetry. And many of the great devotees came, and they were so amazed. But especially Ramananda Roy, who also was a great poet and knew the Natya Shastra. He was particularly enlivened. And we're in the part now where he has an exchange with Rupa Goswami about his dramas, and we learn a little bit of the technicalities of Natya Shastra, how dramas are composed according to certain boundaries and certain prescriptions and rules to create and encapsulate whatever aesthetic experience that the drama is meant to communicate. So Ramananda Roy is intrigued with the dramas that Rupa Goswami wrote. And he was asking the technicalities, and then he just asked him, we just asked him, please just continue, just to shower me with the nectar of the verses. In the last verse that I believe we read, it's so beautiful. Srimati Radharani is the Ganges in which the elephant of my mind enjoys pastimes. She is the shining of the full autumn moon for the Chakora bird of my eyes. She is the dazzling ornament, the bright and beautiful arrangement of stars on the border of the sky of my chest. Now today I've gained Srimati Radharani because of the highly elevated state of my mind. So he hears this. And now Ramananda Roy turns to Lord Chaitanya, and he has unbounded enthusiasm because what he heard is so extraordinary, and he has no envy. And what he heard is not only great poetry, but poetry that's encapsulating the moods and aspirations of Ramana, of his own heart, of Ramananda Roy's own heart. So when he hears it, the extraordinary poetry, the mind-boggling combination of metaphor and alliteration and other poetic ornaments to express the deepest sentiments of the heart of God. See, two things. It's poetry, but it's esoteric in the sense that it's a very, very deep revelation of the mood and heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the mood of Srimati Radharani. This is a very confidential thing, which he understood because he attracted the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the quality of his service, which was an expression of the desires in his heart to please. And in any relationship, when full trust is inspired by a pure and selfless mood of service. Then the intimacy, the heart, the depth of the object of your love and service is revealed to one to inspire more and deeper service. We mentioned many, many times the heart is very delicate. And therefore, one will not readily disclose the depth of one's feelings. They won't disclose the depth of one's feelings to just anybody. It has to be someone who's inspired absolute confidence by a steadiness of service. So Ramananda Roy here in this verse, he has this unbounded enthusiasm. Because this poetry is encapsulating and expressing deeper and deeper moods of the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which in one sense is the heart of Sri Radha. So he's very, very appreciative of it. So he says, Kavi Tva Nahaya, this is not just Kavi. This is not just Kavi or poetry. It is amit desire. It's a continuous shower of nectar. It's not just poetry. It's not just language. But it's an embodiment of rasa, of perfected love. And therefore, one who is seeking that perfected love and listens to these dramas and poetry, then he enters into those drama and poetry in a way that one feels and experiences everything that the protagonist of that drama is feeling, or that poetry is feeling. And what they're feeling is a bhav, is a mood. Gosh, I can say that at Vasana. I usually don't stay for lunch. I try to get back for lunch. I try to leave early. But it was so nice just being relaxed, knowing we have lunch out there. And just chanting and chanting and hearing leelas and hearing pastimes and chanting and hearing leelas and hearing pastimes. After a while, you enter a bhava. It means where your devotion is not on the mental plane. It's actually a mood and the feeling of the heart. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyam te kalevaram tam tam evaiti kantayasudha. Whatever bhava you have at the time of death, that you'll go. It's not your thoughts. You won't be in control of your thoughts at the time of death. It's whatever mood or bhava. When you have a mood or bhava, it flows regardless what the condition of the mind and body is. I told you, I know sadhakas who have been in intense pain. But they're in a bhava, a mood, that is inoculated. It's not changed. By the weather, by the state of digestion, by one's health. So Ramana Roy says this is not just poetry. It's an aesthetic experience. It's a continuous flow of nectar. And it's Siddhanta Sar. It's the conclusions of the Shastra also. And this is the beauty of the poetry and dramas of the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself is Nataka. It's Rasa Shastra. It's poetry. But Ramananda Roy is saying that the beauty of this poetry is that it has Siddhanta. It has philosophical conclusions that it expresses. Some iPad just went off for someone's life. Rupa Goswami continues, Ramananda Roy continues in his unbounded enthusiasm. Prema paripati ea bhuta varnana, shuni chitta karnera hoya ananda gurnana. The wonderful descriptions of Rupa Goswami are superb arrangements to express loving affairs. Prema paripati. They're first-class arrangements. For expressing abhuta varnana, wonderful descriptions. And hearing them will plunge the hearts and ears of everyone into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. If one, in a submissive way, and has the bhakti sukriti, it's reading a description of sukriti, what happens, and so basically sukriti is the tendency to hear from proper authority. And I was reading, when this builds up, then one can come in contact with the proper authority. Hearing them will plunge the heart and ears of everyone to a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. A whirlpool, if you've got the idea, once you get caught in a whirlpool, you have no ability to control your movements. So it's a nice analogy. You're hearing this and you're plunged into a whirlpool. You achieve a particular bhava, you achieve a particular mood. And what is that mood? It's a soft-heartedness towards the pastimes of Krishna, which inspire the soft heart to respond with the desire to serve and love. Bhakti is best expressed through service, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord. Through the faculties of mind, body, and words. So Ramananda Roy continues to express his unbounded enthusiasm and appreciation for the poetry of Rupa Goswami, and he says, "What is the use of a bowman's arrow or poet's poetry if they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin?" And then he's talking to Lord Chaitanya. "Without your mercy, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that if you've given him the power." It's an extraordinary ability. There's no word processor. It's happening all within the sattvic mind. And you have to write it down on bark. So you have to actually, before you begin writing, you have to do all the word processing within the mind. And these dramas, as we read before, sometimes took 20 years. You can imagine maybe for one verse that should fit in the context of the presentation of the drama, and then it also has to be in perfect poetry. We can see that probably Rupa Goswami may have been praying and praying and praying and praying and meditating on just maybe one verse in a week. Kula Mushaka Baba, again a mouse. I've seen that. I was visiting one devotee who had left, and he was a very, very powerful leader. And then when I met him, what happened? It's not that God took away his intelligence. It's God no longer was using his intelligence, because he was extraordinary when he was doing service. Extraordinary. So when we change our identity to "I am the servant of Guru," and therefore through the expression of that service, God sees that you're malleable to his will, he can choose you to do his service, his bidding, in many, many, many wonderful ways. And Rupa Goswami was such a soul. And really, the difficulty of the task of writing things like Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is both a Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like Prabhupada, that's the only book he brought with him on the Jaladuta, because it contains everything. It contains the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya. So already before Krishna Das Kaviraj began to write, the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami has wrote his poetry. Jiva Goswami has written the Satsandarbhas, the philosophical treatises on the philosophical basis of Krishna consciousness. And now Krishna Das Kaviraj, in writing Lord Chaitanya's life in such great poetry, Krishna's Kaviraj not only writes about his life, but he writes about his teachings. So he summarizes all the poetry of Rupa Goswami. He summarizes the philosophical conclusions of the Sandarbhas. Krishna's Kaviraj puts this together in poetry. It's not an ordinary task. The degree of difficulty of doing that is practically unfathomable. But therefore, Ramananda Roy says, after hearing the poetry to Lord Chaitanya, it would be impossible to do unless you have given it the power. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag. He attracted and satisfied me because of his qualities. The purport, Prabhupada gives one of my favorite phrases, Krishna is responsive. Krishna is a person. He's responsive to what? Love. He reciprocates. It's a natural, perfected state to reciprocate appropriately with love. So Krishna is responsive. So this is bhakti. Bhakti means we enter into a relationship with God, beginning with Sharanagati. We accept him as the exclusive shelter. And we surrender to God fully. And then he's responsive. Tesham satatayatanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam. If you want to worship me, faith and love, I give them the knowledge which they come back to me. Krishna responds, yeyatamam papadyante tam satatayatam. He responds. That's how bhakti works. Bhakti is not an individual effort. Bhakti is a relationship. And we advance by relationship with the absolute reality of faith expressed through service that inspires the absolute reality to reveal himself fully. And to empower one in their service to God. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, this is how it worked. This is how it worked. He attracted and satisfied me by his qualities. And therefore, I gave him an understanding of my heart and the ability to share that heart by encapsulating those feelings in incredible poetic presentations. So this is so instructive. That there's inspiration and there's our ability. So the first inspiration is, especially to someone who's communicating something, is an inspiration of some beautiful experience. And the next inspiration is not only have the experience, but how to share that experience and communicate it to others. But that experience of the absolute reality is a gift of mercy of the absolute reality in reciprocation for one's service. It's not that one's service not that one can understand God in any other way, but by God's mercy. And And mercy is a reciprocation of respect and love. So Rupa Goswami is very much inspired, able to do extraordinary things. And the most extraordinary thing is God, with full confidence, could give Rupa Goswami, or Lord Chaitanya, with full confidence, can give Rupa Goswami his heart. What is the qualification required for someone to give you their heart? The qualification is the love that you have for that person who gave you their heart, and the expression of that love that inspires someone that I can trust this person, not to exploit them. Because in the material world especially, we're so egotistical, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And we're in that consciousness so constantly that we don't even perceive it. Unless we're introspective, we can't realize how much we are moving in this world by a sense of false identity. And as long as we're in that mood of false identity, there's always a tendency for us to be expedient and to utilize things for our own aggrandizement. Even the revelation of heart of a close friend is so significant. God gave his heart to Rupa Goswami. He gave the inner depths of his heart to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he trusted him. Why did he trust him? Because of his qualities. Okay, I'm going to end here. It's amazing. I have to say that I think I slept for half this. I hate to say it. Coming back from that parikram and just getting back for the class makes one tired. But if anybody would like to say hello, I'd welcome that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. I'll first to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
That's Gail?
Yes.
I appreciate these regulars for the classes. Thank you. This was an extraordinary day to give a class because you're really exhausted at the end of the day. But you can't go to bed because you have to give the class, which I relish. I relish the opportunity. It makes it a little more challenging. Anybody else?
Thank
like
you for
to
the
say
sacrifice.
Thank you for the sacrifice. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Hey, Henry, hi, Bo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Priya, who else?
Govardhan Bhakta.
Who?
Govardhan Bhakta, Sri Maharaj.
Hi, Bob, open on. Hi. Who else? Okay. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate you all. Not. Please fully rest next week. Once you come.